Well, turn please to John 17 again. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And we'll read again the words of the verse 6. So John 17 and the verse 6. And our Lord prays, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us seek the Lord's face. Our gracious Father, how we need thy help as we come before the word of God. We recognize that this is a spiritual book. The natural man cannot discern what is spiritual. And Lord, we thank thee for the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee, Lord, for the work that thou hast done within thy people. And Lord, we pray afresh for that enlightenment to be granted this evening. We pray, dear Lord, that the Spirit who has been given to be our teacher will take these words and that these words will be taught to our hearts. Oh Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt give help to this frail vessel. And Lord, we pray that the word then will not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, grant help, we do pray, in our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. The life of the Christian is to be one that is radically different from the world that is around us. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the life of the Christian then, as he progresses with the Lord, it's not to be one of progressively becoming more and more like the world again, but rather it is that more and more that he is to be transformed by the renewing of his mind. Now, the first five verses of this chapter, in them Christ was praying concerning himself and the glory of the Godhead. And so in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And the first section then of the prayer is taken up with the glory of the Godhead. But then we come to the verse 6. The Lord moves on then to pray for his disciples and believers at large in the world at that time. But he also prays for the church at large, the people of God from all ages. Because in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so he's praying not just for those that were converted at that time, but for those who would come to faith. And while much of what the Lord was praying about here may have a special application to the disciples being the Lord's people, the words then evidently have a special application to us as the people of the Lord as well. And so in verse 6 then, the Lord, he comes to speak about his disciples, but he doesn't actually make the request until verse 9, when in verse 9 he says, I pray for them. And so in verses 6 to 8, the Lord is speaking about the people of God, about this people that have been given to Christ by the Father. And we've already touched on some of these themes in earlier messages. How there is a people then that have been given to the Son, that the Son might give to them. And the Lord says here that this people was the Lord's, that is the Father's, but the Father gave them then into the Son's hand. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And surely the idea is that these were the Father's by sovereign election, by sovereign choice, but he has given them then into the hand of the Son. And they have been given to him out of the world. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And so this company of people, the saved, the church, they are taken out from the company of an ungodly world. And so as we think of the mankind in its entirety, the Lord comes and he takes a portion of mankind to do a saving work in, out from among fallen men. And we have a wonderful description then of this people that are taken out from among men. And that's found at the end of verse 6. They have kept thy word. And so this people that are given to the Son, taken out from among men, the Lord says of them, they have kept the word of the Father. A.W. Pink said, this is the highest commendation that Christ can give his people. They have kept his word. And you think of the disciples before him here, and they hear these words, the Son of God commanding them. These disciples, they have kept thy word. And we'll come later in later messages to think of how Judas had gone out from among them. He had not kept the word, but these 11, they had kept the word. And I want simply tonight to take this particular statement, they have kept thy word. And I want us to take this as the Lord's definition of what a Christian is. What is a Christian? What does it mean to be born again? It means that we are to be those that keep the Lord's word. And as we think then of the Lord as he came to pray then in verse 9, I pray for them. What does he pray for us? He prays this for us, surely, that we would be those who keep the word. And so we're looking at the Christian, one who keeps the word. I want to say that the Christian is called one who keeps the word because Christ is the revealer. And so the Lord says here, the Christian is somebody that keeps the word. And that is true because Christ is the revealer. And the Lord has revealed various things to us. You see, as we come to these words, the Christian is one that has kept the Lord's word. The Lord didn't say these words that the disciples would be full of pride. And he doesn't say them to us that we might be full of pride and say, oh, look how worthy I am of commendation. I am one who keeps the Lord's word. I believe we ought to be amazed that the Lord would speak words like this about us. We have kept the Lord's word, and we'll come to that later. But these words surely then make it clear that the Christian is one who keeps the word because of what the Lord has revealed to us. If you look at verse 6 again, I have manifested, I have declared, I have revealed thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. And these men that have kept thy word, they have done so because Christ said, this is what I have done for them. I have manifested thy name to them. And because Christ did that, the 11 disciples were enabled to keep the word. Now, very often in the Word of God, when we read of the name of God, it's not just referring to his title, but his actual being, his person. So, for example, in Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and safe. The name of the Lord is a tower. Now, when it says there, the name of the Lord is a tower, is it just saying the actual title of the Lord is a tower? Surely it's saying the Lord in his being is like a tower. We run into him and we are safe. And so, thinking of that idea, the Lord says, I have manifested thy name unto the men. And it's not only that the Son declared the greatness of the Father's name, though he did that, but he declared all of the greatness of the Father and all of the greatness of the Godhead. And as he did that then, this revelation, this manifestation that Christ had accomplished, it enabled this keeping of the Word. That's why I say then, the Christian is one who keeps the Word because Christ is the revealer. He has manifested, he has revealed, he has declared various things to us concerning the Father and concerning the Godhead. If you look again at those words, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And surely there is this idea that as the Lord ministered to all that were around him, and so during the Lord's ministry, he was confronted with all different types of people. But he revealed the Father to this people in a very special way. So there was certainly a general revealing, a general declaration. He spoke the truth to all that heard. But as far as there being a heart knowledge, it was only to those that had a new heart. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That is, everyone else then that remained in that ungodly world, not taken out of it. In that sense of being drawn out unto the Lord, they have known nothing about this manifestation, in the sense that the disciples knew it. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. If you look then at verse 8, or sorry, in chapter 14 and the verse 8, chapter 14 and the verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? And the Lord is saying here, all through my ministry, this is what I have been doing. All through my ministry, I have been manifesting the Father to you. I have been showing the Father to you. Verse 10, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And as we think then, again, of what the Lord is saying here, he taught Philip and the disciples. He showed them the Father. Now, these words surely eliminate pride. How can I be proud when I am described as being one that keeps the Word, when it's entirely of the Lord that I would do so? If it were not for the Lord opening my heart and revealing these things to me, and were it not for the Lord opening your heart and revealing Christ to you, and thereby revealing the Father to you, you would be like all the other ungodly, rebelling against the Word. The child of God is a keeper of the Word because of this manifestation. J.C. Ryle said, A right knowledge of God the Father was the first thing which Christ revealed and taught to his disciples. And this then was his priority, to show the Father, that they might then keep the word of the Father. Now, thinking of that link then, that we only are said to be those that keep the word because of that manifestation, I want you to turn back to John 14. And the Lord put this in another way. John 14 and the verse 21. And the Lord said, "He that keepeth my command, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them." And so remember, this is what we're looking at, keeping the word. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, so it's the other Judas, Judas the less. Judas said, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, the scriptures elsewhere make it very clear to us that we love him because he first loved us. And yet, to take these words as they stand, the Lord is saying that if we love him, he will love us. And he will make his dwelling place in us. Now, if you tie all of that together, surely what has been taught is this, that this manifestation precedes us keeping the word. It accompanies us keeping the word, and it follows us keeping the word, because there in John 14, verse 21, towards the end of the verse, "I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The Lord says, if you love me, then I will manifest myself to you. But John 17, 6 seems to be indicating we keep the word because of this manifestation. And so you can see that all of this is tied together. The Lord has manifest himself to his people. They love him. They keep the word. And as they love him and keep the word, he manifests himself to them in an even greater way. And therefore, just as the life of the Christian is to be described as this, the Christian is one that keeps the word, the Christian is also to be one who is having the Father manifested to him. There is to be this ongoing revealing to him. George Newton described this keeping of the word in a fourfold way. He talked about the keeping of the word in the mind by remembering. And so we're looking at this phrase, the Christian is one that keeps the word. But what does it mean to keep the word? We keep the word in our mind by remembering it. Remember Mary, the mother of our Lord. Remember how when we read in Luke 2:51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And the words then that the Lord had spoken, that is, Jesus Christ spoke to Mary and to Joseph. Mary, it says of her that she kept all these sayings in her heart, and that's in relation to what the Lord said as a child in the temple. And then, remember earlier, the word that was spoken by the angels, and then the word that was brought by the shepherd, she took all of that, she pondered it in her heart. And so while others forgot, others did not keep the word. Mary kept it. It was in her mind. And therefore, as Christ came, he was manifested to the whole world. All who saw him and saw God manifest in the flesh. But the actual truth of that was lodged only in the mind of some. But having heard that truth, the good seed was not stolen away.
It was led up in the minds of those that truly believed. There is a keeping of the word in the mind by remembering. There's a keeping of the word in the heart by believing. If you look in John 8, we have a reference here to this idea of keeping the word. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, and it has this idea of keeping the Lord's word, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, if you look with me in verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honour my Father, and ye do dishonour me. The Lord there is dealing with false teaching. The Lord is dealing with unbelief. The Lord is dealing with rejection. And he is saying then of these people, they are not keeping the Lord's sayings because they don't believe the truth. But what does it mean then to keep the Lord's saying? It means this, that we keep the Lord's word in our heart. We believe it. There's a keeping of the word then, thirdly, in the affections, by loving it. And so we are to delight in the law of God after the inward man. We keep the word in our affections by loving it. And fourthly, there's a keeping of the word in the life by obeying it. We keep the word then by obeying the word that has been revealed to it, not disregarding it, but obeying it. And therefore, as we come to these words, the Lord says, here are these disciples. They have kept thy word. Isn't there a challenge to us then? We are to be those that keep the word. And we deprive ourselves when we do not keep the word. In Luke 11, remember there was that lady who spoke of how blessed it must have been to have been the mother of our Lord, to have carried the Lord in the womb, to have nurtured the Lord as a child. And as the lady spoke about that, the Lord answered in Luke 11:28. He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. And she was even saying, what a blessing it must have been for your mother to carry and bear a child like you. The Lord said, yes, that's true, but there's an even greater blessing for those that hear the word and keep it. Where is true blessing? Where is true happiness? In keeping the word. And therefore, the keeping of the word does not make the Christian miserable, but rather it brings the true happiness, the true blessedness. We have that same truth set forth in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1 verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. And there the blessing is for those that not only read and hear, but those that keep the word. And so often as God's people we are full of sadness and dejection. So often we are full of doubts. So often we are inconsistent and inconstant. And surely the challenge is then tonight, will we be those that keep the word? Because the Lord says if we will, then what a blessed people we will be. If keeping the word means remembering, then surely we ought to be memorizing the word. If keeping the word means believing, let us not cast doubt over the scripture. Let us hold high views of the infallibility of the word of God. And surely it is a sad thing in our day when so many that profess the Lord's name, they cast doubt over the word, or they twist it to their own end. Oh, that we would see, here is a book, we're to take it and to believe it. If keeping the word means loving, let us delight in it more and more. And let us show that delight in it by reading it,
by spending time with it. We spend time with those we love.
If we love the word, we must love to read it. If keeping the word means obeying it, let it do what it commands. Let us refrain from what it forbids. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight.
And isn't it interesting how John brings those two ideas together?
Keeping the commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight.
To keep the commandments is to do that which is pleasing to him. God has revealed truth, and therefore the Christian is one who keeps the word because Christ is the revealer.
I want to see then, secondly, the Christian is one who keeps the word because Christ is the overcomer. Because in our text it says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. They have kept thy word.
Now when the Lord saved them, he didn't take them out of the world in order that they would keep the word. So when he saved these disciples and others who were converted at that time, as soon as the Lord saved them, he didn't take them away to heaven that they could keep the word of God there. He took them out from among the company of the world, but yet they were still in another sense living among the world, keeping the word in the presence of the ungodly. And the Lord goes on to pray about that very matter. John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And the Lord then did not pray, have these Christians taken away that they could keep the world or the word in a secluded place by themselves. No. The Lord didn't pray that they would be taken out, but that they would keep the world even before the ungodly. And so how apt is this text then for our time? We live in a time when tolerance is supposedly the name of the day. And so we are to tolerate everybody. We are to have compassion upon everybody. And no matter what an individual may do in his lifestyle, we are to receive them and embrace them. That principle quickly evaporates once someone stands up and declares biblical truth. And so there's a warm reception for everyone except the Christian. That's certainly how it seems. But we need not be surprised, because this text is showing us that God's people keep the word despite all of the opposition. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word, even though they are still living in this ungodly world. Even though they are still living in this cesspool, and they are still surrounded by depravity and hearing the mindset of a fallen, ungodly world. The Lord says here that they have kept thy word. Now, the Lord could have said, they have kept my word. They have kept the word of Christ. But he said, they have kept thy word, the word of the Father. And the words that follow explain why the Lord said that. In verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And so he's saying that everything that the Father has given, or sorry, the Son has received, has been given of the Father. And what is he referring to very especially? His word, verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And so the Lord said, these men, they believe that what you've given me came from the Father. And the word that I have spoken, the word that you gave me, they believe that you did give it.
And so therefore, and the Lord says, they have kept thy word. They have kept this word because they see all the authority that it carries. The word that Christ preached, they received it as an authoritative word. The word from the Father, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. When ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And God's people then are enabled to keep the word when they see this truth set before them. This is the very word of God, and therefore I keep it even in the face of opposition. You think of the disciples as they watched our Lord. They saw how he was not well received. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. As the Lord was not well received, he still kept the word despite the opposition. So Christ then kept the word in the face of opposition. He was the overcomer. And as he overcame, they then saw we can overcome through him. If you look with me in Luke chapter 8, we have another reference here to this idea of keeping the word. Luke 8, verse 15. Luke 8, verse 15. It says, concerning the good ground hearers here, that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And here the good ground hearer is spoken of as one that not only hears the word, but keeps it. But I want you to notice the end of that verse. Bring forth fruit with patience, or bring forth fruit with steadfastness, with constancy, with loyalty, with endurance. And surely the idea is there was great opposition. The sun that caused some of the seed to wizen and die because it was in shallow soil was the same sun that was shining on the good ground. But there was root here. And they kept the word. They brought forth fruit with endurance, that is, they were overcoming. And as we think of the a great challenge to God's people in the Western world in our time, as laws are being passed to silence us, as some of God's people are brought to court because of various things that they have said and done in the Lord's name, as many Christians stand alone in the workplace, surely there is this challenge. Will we be keepers of the word? Will we bring forth fruit with patience? And the Lord said, writing to the church at Philadelphia, thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You think of that. You're a very weak church. You've only a little strength, but yet you've kept my word. They were more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. So then, the Christian is called a keeper of the word because Christ is the revealer. He is the overcomer. And I want to say lastly, the Christian is called one who keeps the word because Christ is the advocate. For I see in our text a great demonstration of grace and the greatness of grace. For you think of these 11 men that were seated before the Lord, their faith was weak. So was mine. Their knowledge was slender. So was mine. They were slow to understand. So am I. Their spiritual attainments were small. So are mine. They would forsake the Lord. And so have I. And yet the Lord said of these men as he described them, they have kept thy word. Isn't that a marvelous thing?
That as the Son comes to speak of this people before the Father, he doesn't bring a record of their faults, but rather he brings this record of their faithfulness. He speaks in such a commending way, and it's as if all the record of their fault has been obliterated. And he declares their faithfulness, even though their faithfulness is so inadequate. And surely, brethren and sisters, these words have been written for our comfort. As the Son of God tonight prays in glory for you and I, he is not bringing a record of our faults and our failures. Now, it's true that we may grieve the Spirit, and we do. But as the Son of God prays for us, here is how he describes us in glory. They are they that have kept thy word. How great is God's grace? And how can Christ speak like this? And surely he speaks like this because he is our advocate. The accuser of the brethren, the devil, he would declare our unfaithfulness. He would declare our failure. And what a list he has. Christ comes as our advocate. And as he speaks of us, he says, they are they that have kept my word. And in all of our unfaithfulness and all of our feebleness, what a faithful God we have. Now, none of this is an excuse or a license for further coldness. It's not saying, well, the Lord covers our sin and therefore let us go on in our coldness. Not at all. We ought to be more faithful. And yet, these words surely are written for our encouragement. We lack faithfulness, but how faithful is our God? Now, our sins have been put from view, our past sin, our present sin and failure, our future sin. The hymn writer said, Calvary covers it all. My sin with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Christ says of his people, these are they that keep the word. Let us rejoice today in the greatness of our advocate, one who stands in glory on our behalf. We trust the Lord will take his word this evening and bless it to all of our hearts.